There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 370, the box office report for the week ending April 8th.
We have to be on our best behavior this week.
Why is that?
Dan's back.
Oh, damn it.
I heard about the last episode. I gotta come in.
Man, I got a Word document over here to the side. I actually had to export it to Excel because it's just nothing but
big.
Fisting jokes. Yeah.
No, that's triple Excel.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. Touché. I don't like to brag. So
close it. Close it.
It's not going to fly today.
Real spoilers up. In the morning,
yeah.
No, I can't do it.
So I will,
in the morning still sounds kind
of
dirty.
That's true. That's, well, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah. So I will post all those fisting jokes on our League of Show Sharers page.
So Dan's like quickly deleting
Dan
that.
Won't let me. So, yeah. Damn it! I forgot we made
we
him.
All,
an ad.
We all have access.
Why
to
did we
it?
Make him an admin?
You know, it's funny how you hear from the couple of people that love it when we start a show like this. You don't hear from the people that unsubscribe.
Isn't that weird how that works?
Yeah. Just the numbers slowly drop.
Yeah. So nobody says, dear sirs, I am unsubscribing.
Yep.
And the people that do aren't.
Yeah. There is one time I actually did subscribe long enough to tell them that I only subscribe so I can tell you that I am unsubscribing.
I just did that.
Just
to,
so you know,
two other podcasts.
Yeah,
yeah. I won't mention what they are, but they it's just like
the clip out. You can say it.
I had to subscribe to the clip out to unsubscribe. They were just like, so I piggybacked off of other podcasts. So like I heard a Jonestown episode, and I was just like, you know what, I want to hear some more. And I downloaded like two other episodes from different shows, and I was like, these are so bad. They're so like the episodes I listened to were informative and funny as talking about Jonestown can be.
Sure.
But you know, like they were having this was just like reading from a book.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh. No, thank you.
The thing is, the great thing about podcasting is that anybody could do it, right?
Right.
The gate's wide open. Anyone can do it.
And the
bad
downside.
Thing, when you listen to a podcast where no one is, I mean, it's like a Bruce Willis, you know, his persona in a podcast when
kidding.
People are just like, hey guys, so I did this. I mean, and there are podcasts for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, so we're going to go check out the, and it's just, you know, and it's not their fault. I mean, it's cool they're doing it, but the difference between one where you find like the great, you know, the Earwolf podcast
right.
and, you know, the other ones we've talked about where they're so upbeat and entertaining, and then you come to one where they're snoozing and they may be talking about interesting facts and
like,
all that, but to
you're
listen
saying
to that.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found one. It was like things you should have learned in history class. And I was like, oh, wow, this sounds like,
interesting.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I like. And so I was listening to it, and like, I swear to God, it was like these two, like, elderly women just reading Wikipedia. And I was just like, what are we doing? And why does this appear to be popular?
I'm back in school.
Yeah.
This sounds terrible.
Like, oh, this
it's
is
rough.
Brutal. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We have a full house. How about that?
We're back.
So You have that to, I was going to say look forward to, but it's happening right now. Yeah, you're right. Not looking forward to it at all. It's in the present tense, and you're probably also not looking forward to it. Shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on iTunes, so if you like what you hear, and maybe your friends would too. That's the way demographics and target marketing work.
I thought you were going to say Democrats.
No.
That's the way Democrats work.
Well, like, I mean, well, that does involve target marketing.
That's true.
As do Republicans.
We do live in a democracy. So. Yeah.
Do we?
Well, I think technically.
No, you can't say that now, or some smug asshole on the internet's going to be like, technically it's a republic.
Like, well, yeah, we saw how well the republic worked.
It's a democratic republic, yeah, right. So it's still a democracy. So. Suck it.
Yeah. Take that, Wiseacre.
Share the show with somebody. That's how about that? Mm-hmm. So you can also go to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already done it. And if you have done it, you can unsubscribe and then resubscribe.
And just don't leave us a bad review. If you unsubscribe or subscribe, but leave us a good review, and then you can unsubscribe, which is fine.
But if you unsubscribe and then resubscribe, do it all in one fell swoop.
Correct.
Don't unsubscribe and then think you're going to come back a week later because you'll forget. So
yeah. It's like when
so you know what? Let's just forget I said any of this.
Yeah. Like when you see a text, you're like, oh, I'll get back to that.
Yeah.
And I never do.
Yeah. Right.
Whoops.
Well, that's why I have like 17,000 emails.
Yeah, right, right.
17,000? Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I never delete my. Right. I never empty my
emails
deleted box. You know.
Oh man.
And so because I can't tell you how many times at work that saved my butt.
Oh really?
And
quick search. We're like, oh
yeah. I did say that. Yeah. Don't play that game with me. And I mean I've done it where like because I've worked there for like 12 years.
Right.
You know. And the IS department, because we got a new email
services.
Oh. And they're like, do you know you have like 300,000?
That's it?
Emails in your... I was like...
This month?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to stop. Like, that's
no.
The new system's just going to start pruning that. I'm like, oh, damn it.
I know, as someone who works in IT and has transferred a lot of mail servers, that's a pain in the ass to transfer someone's box that has 300,000 because you have to download it all and whatever, consolidate it to a file. Then you have to upload it. And as we all know, upload speeds are not exactly what downloads are. So when you're uploading, like literally, I bet that was like 50 gigabytes or whatever. You have all PDF attachments. Uploading that takes a long time, and then they have to sync it back down to all their devices.
They get paid by the hour.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Wait, there's a little tier.
Yeah.
I know.
Job security.
No, I'm just saying.
You just got paid 15 hours in overtime.
Yeah. They're government bureaucrats. Yeah. I mean, so am I. Just some slightly cooler version. So, also, don't forget, you can share the show with your friends. Join the League of Show Sharers. People who are kind enough to share the show this week, Ralph Tribble, Librarian Cynthia, Linnea Thunsell, Griffin Fox Smith, Tom Comiskey, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Sanders, Travis Tewitt, Jason Weesey, Troy Anspaw, Dylan A. Lang, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Chris James, Lane Levanway, Musings of a Cosplay Witch, Ming Bian, I hope I'm saying that right.
Is that new?
I feel like I've seen the name before.
So. I don't think it's new. Pronounced it.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Never mind.
Yeah. Timmy Two Zunes, Timmy Two Zunes, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Breaking Politico, Julianne Jordan, and Richard Lawson. So thank you very much for sharing the show every week. We greatly appreciate it.
You guys are cool.
Yes.
Is Richard Lawson related to Richard Dawson?
I don't think that's how that works. Completely different names.
completely different, but...
This is why
he's a fan of The Running Man. So. Yeah.
This is why you never let Dr. Seuss do your genealogy.
Yeah, it gets screwed up.
It's very convoluted.
With Boston and Mawson.
Yeah. And it's like one side of your family tree has stars on theirs. Yeah. The other side doesn't. Gets very spun around.
Super confusing.
Yes. So anyway, there are all of your shameless plugs. I guess we can now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. Coming in at number one, it is the movie of the week, which, you know, that hasn't happened that often this year. We've had like Black Panther for 7 weeks as number one.
Ready Player One was number one.
I mean, Ready Player One was the outlier, but, you know, so we're getting back into the number one movies being new. So A Quiet Place made $45 million.
Wow.
That is huge.
They would have to be ecstatic.
Who would have ever? And not, I mean, it looked good. I'm not saying anything, but $45 million.
Can you look up when Get Out was released? Like what time
sure
of the year?
I
think
it was
late February.
It was February. It was, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I was thinking it was late February.
Because we're like, are people going to remember this at Oscar time?
And guess what? They will.
It was awesome. Yeah. I cannot believe for a movie like that, you know, a horror movie, Jordan Peele's first film to last from,
it's a thriller.
Get Out? But,
yeah. You would call it a horror film?
No, and same for Quiet Place, I wouldn't call either one a horror film.
I wouldn't either.
Right. But, I mean, for that genre and to hang on, you know.
I agree.
You know, his first directorial effort, and it lasted all the way until a year later at the Oscars. That's awesome.
Didn't win enough.
No.
I agree.
It didn't, but I'm glad it won.
And the horror film thing, it's kind of funny because it's like there are people, like my wife, she watched a little bit of it, and then she gets tired. So, and I'm like, but I have to tell people, I'm like, it's not what you think it is. Because people are like, oh, I don't like horror films. I'm
like, it's not.
It's not what you think it
is.
It's like, you know, because it starts out and you do think, oh, God, gotten into? And then it's like, oh, nope, not that at all.
And this one does not, we'll get into it, but it does not, there's no bait and switch.
No.
Like, you know what you're getting into from Jump Street.
Right.
And, but it's like this guy, I think, so this is Krasinski's third movie?
Directorial,
but he
feature.
Wrote it. I didn't realize he wrote it either, and I was just like,
there was a story, and a script, and then I think he jumped in. This was going to be a Cloverfield movie.
Looking at the creatures, I can absolutely see that
it was being bandied about.
Okay,
I was like, this going to be a Stranger Things movie?
sure, but I mean, like, given what we know after that last Cloverfield, why couldn't it have been?
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not.
I'm glad it's not.
Like, there's no reason to tie it in, but now that we're just like, no, it's dimensions and other worlds and whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it wasn't. And it deserves every single dollar.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into
it. That's all I'll say.
Next episode. But
also, I'm just saying, Disney should pay me because I'm the one that said Krasinski is Reed Richards.
Oh.
I said it first.
Okay.
I'm just putting it
out
there.
Is that happening? Or you're just saying if that happens?
I think somebody asked him, they're like, how would you feel about that? And he was like, yeah, I tried to be one of them.
Yeah.
And then they got Chris Evans. Yeah. So, you know, sign me up.
Yeah.
I think he'd be great. He's
proven himself now that he could have been Captain America.
Like, oh, absolutely.
I would have bought that 100% based on 13 hours.
I don't know if I would have bought him as Captain America in 2000, what was that, 12?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
not then. You needed some distance from
The office. Yeah, you need some distance from The Office. And I think The Office was only off the air. Was it off the air in 2012? I don't think it was. It's close.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
2012?
When did The Avengers come out?
He was just, wouldn't he have been?
Well, he would have been in
it much earlier than 2012.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because, I mean, that was only 6 years ago. That
so
wasn't
when
Captain
was,
America.
When was the first Captain America? So
The Office ended in 2013.
So he was still
in the middle
Halpert.
Of the office,
and I think he could not have been Captain America at that point.
Jim would have left a lot earlier if he were Captain America.
Although, you know, to counteract that statement, I mean, Chris Pratt did it.
Yeah.
Was he
true?
Was he Star-Lord while Parks and Rec was going on?
Yeah. I think I think the last two seasons, because he comes back. Kind of like they had to start putting him in really baggy clothes because he came back so ripped.
It's true, yeah.
Because he starts
true.
The show like
pudgy. They make a joke about
it.
Remember when he comes back the next season? Yeah. He's like, I've been on a diet
or
whatever.
Super pudgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But the Star-Lord character is
I mean, he's
Andy,
goofy, so it's
right.
like
just
it's
turned a little bit.
Yeah.
Captain America,
I just feel
so
like, but I mean, these are actors, and if he was a really good Captain America, I just feel
I
like
agree.
You would just forget that he's Jim, and he wouldn't be Jim very long,
right.
And then, you know, he'd be doing all these big action movies. You know, his career trajectory would have just been completely different.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I would also say, to argue against the point I just made, I think Jim is a more iconic character than Andy on Parks and Rec.
I completely agree.
Oh, absolutely.
He's still. Yeah,
I mean, think
people are still going to be saying Jim from The Office.
I think if
about
he doesn't
movie.
Have Dwight, he doesn't. He is not as iconic. But because
he
has
I mean,
Dwight,
sure.
they need that interplay and Pam
and Pam, of course,
because you know people fell in love with
Jim
falling in love.
Well, she's coming to town this month.
She lives.
She's got
here.
A book.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, But she's doing a book signing at I think it's Left Bank Books who usually
does. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So
and it would
cool.
make sense that she would come to town and support like the local indie bookstore.
Yeah.
I bought her book. It's actually really good.
Is it really?
Oh, is it?
A memoir?
No, it's about like how to break into acting professionally.
Cool.
Like it kind of tells her story of things she did, and she's like, "Oh, that was dumb," and how, you know, just how to work as a professional actor.
I gotcha.
That's awesome.
This is what I said for my Fantastic Four pitch. They're just like, "Well, how do they get him in there now? They've have all these years worth of movies." And I was like, "You set the movie in 1964. You introduce all your characters. You do everything. The end of that movie is them getting hit with the cosmic rays and disappearing." And then
Space Rift.
Bingo, and they're gone.
Huh. And then they come back all of a sudden.
Avengers 4 or 5, bam, they're back.
Would they be the
Although
same
I think
age?
You might have just,
yeah,
could they
not?
Wouldn't age.
Yeah,
they
would just like, spoil the plot for Captain Marvel.
Maybe I did.
Because we know that's like, in the 90s. I'm like.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's, I mean, you could have all four of them. You can keep them the same age. Reed can have his little gray hair on the sides. It's fine. But yeah, I think that was a Fantastic Four movie in the 60s to your Superman movie in the 40s.
That's what Peyton Reed wanted to do, and I wish
perfect.
They would have.
For what?
He wanted to do Fantastic Four in the 60s. He even did that.
Oh, really? He did Ant-Man, though, didn't he?
Yes, but way back. He's the one that did that Ewan McGregor, Renee Zellweger movie. Do you guys remember that? Like a throwback to those Doris Day Rock.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And at that time, they were talking about him doing Fantastic Four as a period piece. I'm like, please, because this guy knows that era well. And how fantastic would that be?
And they got the guy from Barbershop.
So
that happened.
Well, yeah, those 90s Fantastic Four.
Oh,
movies.
Man, they're so bad. So Thanks. Bad.
But anyway, A Quiet Place had a $17 million budget, so opening to 45.
That's not a Blumhouse flick, right?
No, it's over 10, all so right. I don't think it can be 10. Legally.
It's a cool spot, though, right? So we're, like, maybe if I can get one amazing horror flick a year in this spot where, like, it's not, they don't jack up the budget, they just do a solid horror/thriller movie a year.
Yeah, I remember
getting,
this isn't a horror movie.
It's horror/thriller.
I mean, you've got things like You're Next, Don't Breathe.
Yeah,
It Follows. Yeah. Like we're getting.
It's a Halloween.
Those movies that are kind of horror, but it depends how you look at them.
It's The Conjuring. It's The Conjuring effect. Like that movie, I think re-energized or allowed Hollywood people to be like, oh yeah, remember those movies from like the 70s that were really good that didn't have a lot of gore?
Right.
Like, yeah. Well, just do those.
I will say, I think they were very smart because this is a PG-13 movie and it made $45 million.
Yep.
And did not need to be R
and
it, for what
yeah,
it's doing.
And it didn't need to. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, it works great as a PG-13 movie. I never felt like they were holding back.
Exactly. So, 45 on a 17. Good for them. And we'll get into that next episode. But coming in at number two is the movie from last week, Ready Player One, made $22.4 million, a 46% drop. It is up to $94 million domestic, and overseas it has another $170.
Jeez.
So, yeah, we're talking about approaching $270 on still an undisclosed budget, but I'm guessing it's in the $200.
Easily, $250.
Range.
I read somewhere that they're estimating that it needs to make $420.
To
break
even. It probably had $210, double it about, or so, or $170. Yeah, that makes sense.
So a Krasinski horror thriller movie just beat a Steven Spielberg special effect still.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't compare like that.
I don't know. I figure, I think a Spielberg
on paper, week two of Ready Player One should have beaten
everything.
A Quiet Place.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And why do I always want to call it A Very Quiet Place?
I keep calling it A Quiet.
You keep calling it The Quiet Ones.
The Quiet Ones, which is a different horror flick altogether.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it's making money. That overseas money is really going to help save it. And that's what they're making these movies for, though. I mean, the big budget special effects with all the homages. I mean, they eat that up overseas. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that one does in the continuing
weeks. Also, it's probably easier to translate.
Yeah,
it's 80% of it's animated.
Yeah, I
so
mean
you're
the mouth,
you're just
moving,
changing the mouth,
you just,
like it's, you're just changing the voices.
Or it's easier
and,
to
and the weird. The hard part was that in China they had to switch it all to the cheap knockoff versions of these characters. So it's like instead of Iron Giant, it's like
10 Big Man.
What's the one with Spider-Man, but he has guns or something?
Spider-Man.
Like the Power Rangers version of Spider-Man?
But like you see it online, he has guns or something. Yeah, it's just like so ridiculous.
I don't know how they ever got away with that.
Or the Batman or whatever that comes in a Spider-Man box.
In China, no one's going to enforce our copyright laws. Like that's always been a problem with China.
It was a Power Ranger. You're talking about the toys.
The toys you see online.
Because there was a cart.
No, I know the crazy show with Spider-Man that's just blowing up. And it's just
it was
like,
a Power Ranger show with a guy dressed up as Spider-Man.
And I think he has guns and stuff.
Funny when you find that, there's like a Russian Star Wars. Oh, it's all weird.
There's like a
Turkish Star Wars.
Pakistani
that's
Superman.
What it is. Yeah, I one time found it was Spanish or Portuguese shot-for-shot remake of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. It was crazy.
With like the Spanish version of Abbott and Costello?
Yes.
Sign me up.
It was like the Spanish Dracula. You ever seen that?
No.
With Bela Lugosi?
No.
Yeah. They did the Spanish. I mean, it's actually on the Blu-ray.
Well, I have
There's a Spanish Dracula. They basically reshot the movie.
They would film it, and then they would just film it again. And isn't there another horror movie that would go in when they were done filming with another cast and refilm it for another language?
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
And
Does he speak oldest.
I feel like, I know what you're talking about. Something, I think it was Karloff or something. I think there was one of those big old classic
monster movies. Is it in the Universal box set or the single?
It might be even on the single.
I have that Universal Blu-ray set.
It's pretty fascinating because they're like, hey, we knocked this one out pretty quick. You guys want to just do it again?
Is there one with a score and one without a score?
Are you talking about the big heist at the end of Dracula?
Van Helsing figures it out. We play back. He's been tricking everybody the whole
time. A game of
cat and
mouse.
He figured it out.
Thumbs up, baby.
Oh, boy. Well, before we get into any of those references.
That's on me. I'm sorry.
You know what you started? Yeah. Number three, Chicken.
Dan has maracas. I'm going to need like castanets.
Please.
So I think it's just called blockers, isn't it?
Number three, rooster emoji blockers. I don't know. It just looks like they made the emoji part of the title.
I have a feeling this was the Zach and Mary Make a Porno title. Something tells me it was called cock blockers at one point, and they're just we can't do
that. Been down this road.
Because, when it was announced, I mean, it always had that emoji in the thing, so it's like, But it made $21 million from that John Cena.
It's not a John Cena. It's
epic.
I don't think he's the main character.
I heard Leslie Mann steals the show. That's what
it's. But, I mean,
did you see it?
Yeah, he's in almost every
season.
I mean,
all three of them are in it equally. Yeah. But I heard
you mean not Mark Wahlberg?
Exactly. Ike Barinholtz. I learned this weekend that he has a name.
But he doesn't act
Mark
Wahlberg.
He looks
like the poor man's Mark Wahlberg.
Well,
he looks
like the Wahlberg in big print and then first name in tiny print. Yeah. Like one of those.
There are a lot of shots where you see his face. I've thought since he hit the scene, and I've liked a lot of the comedies. He's been in
a ton.
He's
very funny.
But whenever I first saw him, I was like, wait, Mark Wahlberg's in this movie? And then
I've
that's
never
not
made
one.
That connect. I guess because I watched The Mindy Project, and he's like a regular on The Mindy Project. Yeah.
Even
so
before
I'm always like,
Mindy
oh,
Project,
it's the guy
though.
The Mindy
How
Project.
Was it?
The Blockers?
Yeah.
All right. It was good. For what it was,
really?
It was solid.
It looked so bad.
It doesn't look. I don't think it looks bad. I think it looks like. So this is what I think.
Cena looks so bad.
I don't care. Whatever. I think we have aged out of this comedy. Not out of this comedy, but. Like, this feels like Superbad.
Oh, it's totally Superbad.
Yeah.
It's Superbad with 40-year-olds.
And girls.
Yeah. Well, because the girls don't really, the girls honestly don't play that large a role in the movie.
Oh.
It's them trying to find the girls. So the girls pop up. I don't mean it like that, but it's not the girls.
It's the parents' movie.
It's really, it's kind of Superbad. Like, oh, you enjoyed Superbad, but now you have children. Here it is again for you with an adult protagonist.
That's the way I took it.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. So what I was wondering is if Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore came out today at our ages, would we enjoy them?
No.
Were those liked them?
I don't enjoy them now.
Were those decent?
I think
only liked one when they came out.
I liked Happy Gilmore, yeah. I enjoyed thoroughly.
Well, that's 50%. I'm just the saying, wedding. Like, were those movies terrible and we thought they were funny because we were 10?
Yes.
Or
yes, they were terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. They were. I mean, when they came out, it was kind of like, ooh.
Okay. But honestly, like, when Caddyshack came out, critics hated it. That did not get good reviews. But it was funny, and it clicked for people, and it was just this dumb kind of funny that hit the zeitgeist in a much lesser way.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison did the same thing. And I like Happy Gilmore.
I still hold
I
those.
Like about half of Billy Madison.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's half of it.
Yeah.
I'm still very nostalgic, where I go, because the thing is that I think we are like, oh, what happened to Sandler? He used to make good movies. Like, were those good movies, or did we just think they were good?
I think, what about,
they were, like, but they were also fresh, right? Like, because he hasn't stopped making that movie. Like, right, he still makes that movie. And so it's like, so if you want to see something that just will really make you sad.
Oh, no.
Like, go to YouTube and type in Jerry Lewis Hardly Working. Oh. And it's a Jerry Lewis movie that is like a quintessential Jerry Lewis movie like you remember, except it was made in like 1982.
Oh.
And so it's really sad to watch this guy trying to do this shtick that just doesn't work anymore because he's 60.
So yeah. I think the Sandler stuff and the... It's tough because I think Tommy Boy is still hilarious, but I don't know if that's the nostalgia factor or if it actually is funny. Like, I think Farley was very funny.
I think Tommy Boy's funny. Yeah. I don't
Black
think that's
it
a is. Weird.
Black yeah. Sheep, it, maybe. Yeah, right. Yeah. But I think the Sandler stuff became not funny when we grew up, me and Kevin, obviously, and they switched to the Apatow stuff. Like,
because it was smarter.
Well,
we
you
got
had,
the
you,
comedy.
You had, so you, I think there's a cool perk. If you look at it, when we were kids, right, it was Farley and Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler. And then that moved into the Laugh Pack, which was Stiller and Ferrell and the Luke and Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. And then that moved to Apatow. And that's where we are now. I think Apatow has cornered this market.
Even if it's not Apatow, it's people trying to do
Apatow. I mean, like, you've got Crashing and you've got Silicon Valley and you've got all those shows, and then he's the movies on top of it, where I just think it's that Sandler shtick from 1994. It's not funny anymore.
Right.
You know,
it's more
comedy.
It's more goofy than smart. We're like, now you get a little bit smarter comedy, where I think his was a lot of that physical comedy and that noise, you know, the noises he made. Uh-huh. Like, it was funny because it was just being goofy. Right.
But yeah. I mean, and Jerry Lewis is the
right.
same.
Right. Sure. I mean, it was the same kind,
It's just really broad clown. And Three Stooges are the same way. If you again, another thing you want to see that you like, if you want to see the Three Stooges,
oh, don't watch the Joe Beffa stuff.
I'm Joe Besser.
That's
yeah.
Yes.
I'm not a Stooges guy at all. But if you want to gain some respect for the Stooges, if you don't like them, you're not a Stooge guy, right?
I'm a Stooge guy.
Okay, I'm not. I remember
House in the Palace.
So good.
Dom Herrera.
I used to watch them all.
I think it was Dom Herrera that had a great joke where he was like, you know why women don't like the Three Stooges? Because they're not funny.
That's good.
But I gained a new respect for the Three Stooges when I stumbled upon the Ritz Brothers. Mm. And like, for real, like, go to Google, type in the Ritz Brothers. And the Ritz Brothers were huge.
Yeah.
People love them. Mel Brooks, it like cites them as one of his influences. Like, he tried to put the Ritz Brothers in High Anxiety, I believe. Like, he wanted to, would have been their last role, or maybe it was just one of them because that's all that was left. But like, the Ritz Brothers are like a poor man's Stooges.
Huh.
And it is awful.
Yeah. So Mel Brooks loved them, and you're saying they're a poor man.
Yeah, don't get, like, I mean, I don't
is it
like
the physical stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and they have a guy that makes all the noises like Curly did. It's, and honestly, like, I don't think they're ripping off the Stooges. I think they're both just ripping off vaudevillian character types, right? And
I'm more of a Shemp guy. But,
yeah, I am too. Yeah, if I'm gonna like Shemp like,
is funny. I think Shemp is funny.
Really?
Shemp actually was in a couple early Abbott and Costello movies, and Abbott and Costello. Costello had them cut his scenes out because he was too good.
Yeah, I think I like Shemp a lot more than I like Curly.
Yeah,
see, when I was younger, I always thought that was the knockoff. I'm like, no, I'm gonna do, you know, I'm going to do go Curly and, because that's the that's
go back and watch the Shem.
Really?
Stuff.
Now
he
I got it.
So
okay.
funny. Yeah.
Larry's still my favorite though.
Really?
Yeah. Endless supply of hair.
That's true. Just constantly just pulling his hair out. Yeah. That's fair.
I could use that. But yeah, I'll make a controversial statement. Curly is the Sammy Hagar of the Three Stooges. Boom.
That is controversial.
Still successful. People still love it. But
he was
the real
was
thing.
Shemp was first. Shemp.
It goes Shemp, huh. then Curly.
And then Shemp came back.
And then Shemp came back. And then Joe. And then they started doing the... Yeah, and that's why they reshot a bunch of them,
yeah,
too. Like,
right,
you can
right,
see
right.
a lot where they do some with Shemp and some... But anyway.
Curly is the reason... I mean, yeah. I always preferred Shemp over Curly, and it was because Curly, at that point, it was just like...
It was too much.
It was
for
just
me,
like, but... he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
you know?
He is just an idiot. Like,
you know?
Shemp...
Like, Shemp actually, like... He had...
Some moxie.
He had something to add to the yes. narrative. You
Curly's
know?
Just there to get pounded on yeah. by Mo.
Right.
Completely...
Yeah, like
hit in the head with like a wrench Woo-hoo! Or something.
Or yeah. I can't even do that noise that he made. I don't even
pound it on. It reminds me of the porn parody.
Oh no,
the Three Stooges.
Which was it? Curly Joe? Was he on the Scooby Doo show? Because the Three Stooges showed up.
Yeah,
on Scooby Doo. I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
It was, I'm
Who
pretty
has
sure
them?
It was Curly Joe.
I forget if it was
Supernatural. Oh no, they did.
Oh yeah.
I always forget.
Undertaker.
Like,
oh,
if it goes Curly Joe, then Joe Besser, or
I think it's Curly Joe, yeah. then Joe Besser. I think Joe Besser
I think
was
you're
last.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And Joe Besser had worked with Abbott and Costello. He was on the Abbott and Costello
oh, really?
Show, the their TV show.
That's
yeah.
funny.
But anyway, check out the Ritz Brothers.
I may not.
No, just to see, like, if you don't like the Stooges especially, check out the Ritz Brothers to see what it looks like when it's not done as well. Like, you'll gain a new respect. And I don't care for the Stooges. I find their history fascinating.
Yeah.
It's
insane. I agree.
Yeah. I was hoping that movie they were going to make
I know.
Was going to be that and not just like, oh, we're just doing the Stooges.
Right.
Great. Okay. Yeah. yeah it was
Well,
Sean...
there was a made-for-TV biopic a few years back.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Okay. It was Sean Penn, Jim Carrey, and somebody else were going to be the
there
Stooges.
Was rumored.
Yeah.
And it was just
Wasn't
like...
Wasn't Benicio one of them?
Could have been. And
yeah,
I was just like,
he was
going to
be
Mel
or something? Yeah, it was Benicio.
Sign me up, because that sounds... Absolutely
and
insane.
It wasn't that at all.
And then it was yeah. Will Sasso and
no,
the guy
that.
From Will and Grace,
yeah.
I think.
Sean Hayes
and the guy, and another guy.
Former Real Spoilers guest, Bill Cott, was
yeah.
almost Curly in that movie.
In that movie?
Wow.
And
I mean,
with
he
Will
made
Sasso?
It, he made it deep into the audition
That's
process.
Awesome.
Somewhere
That's...
online, there's a YouTube video of him of his audition tape.
I could totally see that, too.
And because he was in a movie the Farrelly Brothers produced called The Ringer,
uh-huh.
and they were like, I mean, and they basically, from what I understand, they basically told him, they were like, we're going to do a Three Stooges movie,
You're in.
And we like really think you could be our
was
Curly.
Was that a Farrelly Brothers movie?
They the produced three... it. They
oh,
didn't...
okay, all right.
What happened to them?
Well, I don't remember if they
done?
Directed it or not. They produced The Ringer. I don't. They might have directed The Ringer. I'm not 100%.
Oh,
or they might have directed the Three Stooges.
I think that comedy style went away.
Yeah,
and went
that
right.
just kind of went poof.
Yeah, that gross out comedy kind of went
yeah,
away.
Yeah, I just haven't seen those that name or that duo.
They
in
don't.
A while.
They made
Jeez.
All their money off. They did. There's something.
Something
about
Mary.
Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, and Kingpin.
Yeah,
and Kingpin.
Oh, and what was the Matt Damon, Greg Kinnear?
Stuck on you.
Stuck
you,
on
me.
And then me, myself, and Irene.
Yeah.
You? No, not you. Me and Dupree.
I would
yeah,
say, honestly, I don't know. I'll have to revisit their stuff and see if it like holds up better than a lot of this other stuff that we're talking about. But
I feel like there's something about Mary probably holds up.
I think Kingpin yeah. would hold up.
Yeah.
I find myself, you know, liking Shallow Hal more.
Is that them?
Yeah.
Really?
I like Shallow Hal. I enjoy that.
I like that black. More as time goes on.
Okay.
At the time, I was like, meh.
Maybe you'll really enjoy that new...
Yeah, weren't we just talking about
we
something?
We were just
talking.
It's
yeah.
the new Amy Schumer flick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I think that looks really good.
It could
good.
Be really funny.
I think it looks very funny.
Yes. I think that movie's going to be a juggernaut for her.
She dated a wrestler at one point, and she said he was too athletic. So they called it quits. She dated Dolph Ziggler.
What does that mean?
He was too athletic, Kevin, in bed.
Oh, okay.
And she was just like, nope. No, thank you.
I mean, we talked about this earlier. They don't take breaks during wrestling
they
matches,
don't.
So you have to be
you
able to
go
for 30 minutes.
There's many ways to do a pile driver.
There it is.
Yeah,
we got Dan
back,
to do one.
And,
oh,
welcome
yeah.
back.
Self Meraki.
How many WrestleMania day yeah. to Dan?
Every time
I mean,
you Meraki.
You are flipped around when you do a pile driver.
That's
so
true.
That's
true.
I mean,
you could, yeah.
So Coming in at number four, Black Panther made $7.8 million in week eight. Joe, what's the domestic up to? Don't look.
624.
Pretty close. 664. Domestic alone. And overseas, 631.
I have to believe.
We're up to $1.3
billion. I have to believe that Avengers is going to do at least $7 billion,
yeah, that's
seven
right.
billion. That's gonna make America just domestic.
It's they're gonna pass a law that you're legally obligated to go see the movie.
They pass all kinds of crazy laws now. Why not?
Yeah, just a dollar.
They don't
per
pass
person.
Crazy laws. They pass crazy executive orders.
That's fair enough. Yeah. That's true.
There's
good
a difference.
Point. Good point. Yeah, I just think so. Again, we say it every week, but we're 3 weeks out.
It's getting pretty close,
you
and it's
I mean?
Number four. It has to stick around.
It's going to stick around. But if it sticks around, it's gonna get a bump. It's going to get a bump because
that's what
people
I'm afraid
gonna,
of is like,
oh, the double
gonna,
feature.
Yeah, for sure. They're like, yeah. Well, we'll go swing by Black Panther and we'll go.
Well, AMC, isn't AMC doing like a marathon anyway?
So they keep saying that, but like,
no, they are. They've sold tickets. I mean, it's,
are they doing them all though? I thought I read somewhere that they're not doing them all.
I thought they were doing them all. And I was like, no, thank you.
I'm about halfway there.
That sounds like the worst idea ever.
On, yeah. I was going to say I'm on Ant-Man.
Can you think of a more horror, like a bigger, just terror than sitting in a theater for over 30 hours straight?
A few friends have kicked the idea around.
Oh, they're crazy.
In a text thread. And like the thought, I was just like,
yes.
These are all out but one. Do your two movie marathon after at home over 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
I think Black Panther, because I don't think Black Panther is going to make it out on home video.
It's not.
Before
there's no way.
Not at this point.
No
I was
way.
Thinking, okay, if it takes a bigger dip, but number four in week eight, that's.
And it's not, I mean, I don't think there's anything massive coming out in the next.
Not to knock
weeks.
That down.
Not
I
to knock
think,
it out of
so.
The top 10.
Yeah, but yeah. There's art. Artwork is out. There's steelbook artwork. You can pre-order.
Oh, is there
Panther.
Steelbook?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the week. No, I mean, they do
but
that the week the movie comes out.
Did you see
now.
The.
Seriously, like movies come out and Best Buy goes, here's the exclusive. And I'm like, this came out this weekend. Right. They yeah. literally are preparing these so far ahead to get pre-orders.
Did you
really
see?
Nice.
Did you see the.
It does look nice.
Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman steelbook artwork?
No.
It's Jim Lee. Draw. Well, and I was just like, God.
Well, you get that when it goes $5 on clearance.
I know, but it looks, I mean, like, and I was like, why couldn't he look like that in the movie? Because that looks great.
Yeah.
Stupid Jim Lee. Drawing great Superman.
Anyway, so yeah, Black Panther, I mean, that's incredible. $1.3 billion in 8 weeks. Just, yeah, absolutely
Boom.
Amazing. Number five, I Can Only Imagine. That's the name of the movie, actually. $7.4 million is only a 29% drop. Still don't remember the name of the band, but they're at $68 million.
Mercy Me, and they sold out the Family Arena last
it
night.
It is sold out.
It already happened.
Yeah,
but
so
it
actually got to sold out.
Yeah, over 7,700 people in the building.
This thing is
we could have sold way more.
I mean, do you like, you go back over half the arena? Like, how far do you cut it? For the stage,
I mean, that's the full house. You can't get any bigger. Like, that's
no. But I mean, for concerts, no one looks at their back, do they?
Yeah, we didn't do it in the round. Yeah,
so I mean, you cut it.
We were selling limited view seating, where you might have a speaker cable in your face. Or something.
I think the only person I saw do something in the round was Metallica. I don't think I've ever
stadiums.
Seen...
I mean, they.
You see a lot of the classic rock stuff. Yeah. Billy Joel typically opens up the back and has an open stage so people can sit behind. Pink. I don't know that it was. Fully in the round, but it was probably 280 degrees. I mean,
I feel like Taylor Swift like had I think her stage went up, and then she had a stage in like the on the back part of the arena.
A lot
that's
because
her
that.
Head goes around 360, yeah. so
that
she's able to. Because
her
do
head's
that.
So big yeah. that you know.
But a lot of artists will do that where they'll have like a mini stage at the back so they can do a couple songs back there to kind of
yeah.
You know.
They were just like make sure nobody touches her, and I was like she's gonna run through the crowd and you want to make sure nobody touches her. Good luck.
Like, cool. Try to make sure only girls under 10 touch her.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, I can only imagine $68 million domestic now total, and we don't have an overseas number for that, but it's a $7 million
yeah,
budget.
They don't care.
So,
just like, well, how much do we make on it? Done.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So, I mean, that one's sticking around, too. I mean, who knows? Maybe that one will, be, by the next time the sequel comes out, the I Can Only Imagine Avengers, where they assemble with some other bands,
right.
they will still be in theaters.
There was the Taylor Swift thing.
I know what you imagined last summer.
Yeah, exactly.
I still know what you imagined
I still
last
know
summer.
What you
There was there was one guy in particular in this crowd that their security guy was like, we are watching him, and we want you on him.
That's very common.
Like, Okay.
Like a ghost city to city creeper? No, huh?
Well, they don't know. So they had seen him on the security camera like 7 hours before the doors even opened.
Oh, and like checking things
out?
He
was just walking around Scottrade, and they had him on camera the whole time. So they're like, we know where he's sitting. Like, we tagged him when he came in the door. We know where he's going to be. We want you in front of him. Just because, like, the way that stage is set up, right? Like, it's at Scottrade, her stage, the secondary stage, if you were to jump off the boards, like, where this guy was, I mean, you're on the stage.
Yeah.
So, like, they planted me, and I was just like, you don't think the 26-year-old guy sitting by himself isn't going to draw any flies? Like, this is, I look even weirder than this guy.
They planted you in the audience?
I'm in the audience. Oh. I'm in the audience on the opposite side of the aisle, like five rows up. So I'm up
so
against
the... you got to sit there and watch a Taylor Swift concert.
It was wonderful. And wow. it wasn't like poppy Taylor Swift.
It was when she was still country.
She was still country, but like starting to go into the pop world.
Wow. There were teardrops on her guitar.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Did her dog run away during the performance?
Who knows? She got broke up with and wrote a new song.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. This is a new one I just wrote for. Well, I took a drink of water backstage. We broke up.
I spilled my water, so I wrote a new song about
it. She's a machine.
She is a machine. So he gets up. Like, she's standing there playing guitar, facing the crowd, and I'm kind of looking at him, and I see him get up and walk into the aisle and take two steps forward. And I was like, I'm going to die. Because, like, I'm going to have to get in front of this guy, and I'm going to go ass over tea kettle over this railing. And, like, I stood up, and I walked in front of him, and he looked at me, and he just stood there, and, like, just dead face, like, didn't, no expression. And I was like, please. And he has a backpack on, and I'm just like, why did anybody let him in here?
Yeah. Wow, why did he have a backpack?
I don't, it was just, and it was like, it was
I've
like,
got my murder bag.
Right. And I was like, this is it. This is how I'm going to die at a Taylor Swift concert.
And you know, the worst part, too, is that I was driving the band Warrant once in my mom's minivan. My life's pretty glamorous. I don't like the name drop. And it was just a torrential downpour. And all I could think was that, like, if I go off in a ditch, it's going to be Warrant others die in car crash.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't want to be other. Like, you would be other.
I would be other.
You would be other.
The dude sat down, and like at the end of the show.
She probably would have wrote a song about you.
Probably would have, yeah. There's a security guy.
Give the royalties to Leanne and your children.
I don't think I was even dating her then. Okay. But like, he sat down, and he was like crying. And I was just like, I called him there. I was like, get this out of here now. Like, this is gonna get bad. And there's like, we can't do anything, we can't move him. And I was like, fine, I've done my, it's on the radio, it's recorded, I don't care. Like, I've done my part. Taylor Swift owes me her life.
A lot of these major artists, they have, and thanks to the way the ticketing system works, you almost always know exactly where they're sitting. So that's helpful.
They did the same thing with Katy Perry.
We had one at Stevie Nicks, we had one in Alabama.
Interesting. Well,
weird times in Scottrade.
That was an interesting story. So, number 7, Chappaquiddick. That's starring Ed Helms, I believe. It opened this weekend, and it is $6 million on a non-disclosed budget.
I saw it.
You did see it?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
I really wanted to see it, so I was like, I had time to see it. It was good. I enjoyed it. It's a good story. I think if the actors had been different people, I would have hated it. Yeah. But I think everybody kind of elevated the material. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like,
is Ed Helms Ted? Or who?
No, Jason, whatever his
Jason
name
Clark
is.
Jason Clark is Ted. Okay.
Yeah. I think Ed Helms is like his...
I haven't watched any trailers.
His, like, kind of manager or handler.
And Bruce Dern is the old man.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean... It's a crazy story.
Did you know the story before you saw it?
I knew that there somebody had died, but I didn't know like the obviously that they said that he killed her, and the movie kind of leaves it. Did he? Didn't he? Like, could he have saved her? Couldn't he? But it was just like Teddy's trying to like get out in front of it and just botching it terribly because they thought he was gonna be president. They thought,
he
was next in line.
Yeah,
because Bobby was already dead.
But
it
also shows you like they thought he was gonna be president, but that didn't happen. So he was only a senator
for his entire life,
the rest of his life. Wow. Like, fail. And when you wonder why, there is this Republican branch that is like the media bends over backwards.
Oh, sure.
It starts with stuff like that. Yep. Like, how is that guy?
How
did his political career ever come back from that?
It's unbelievable.
And
it's
no one can tweet about it.
But yeah, because they, the media took a dive because he was a Kennedy. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it.
There's no other way to explain it.
Right now with the keyboard crusaders, that would never happen.
Oh,
I mean,
people
expose everything. There's no hiding a story like that.
This whole family is just insanely interesting. You could do a TV show starting with Joe, the old man, and just working your way up because it's insane.
Call it Camelot.
You could call it Camelot.
I think that show's on CNN right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. The history of the Kennedys. Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. Well, I know.
Well, he's a Fox News guy. Yeah, so obviously he doesn't know what's going on CNN. Yeah.
But it's like insane. It's just it's such a crazy story.
Did you say Tom?
It is.
I did not.
It's dry. It's very dry. But
well, except for his girlfriend.
Oh, my. Too soon?
Yeah. No? All right.
How does that not get a maraca?
It just depends on how you take it.
Pretty bad.
So, sideways maraca.
I meant her. I meant her rotting corpse.
Right.
Just to be clear. Yeah.
I don't think it's probably wet
if
anymore.
If it were a bedroom joke, then it would be different. But
there it is.
A death joke gets a pass. It's just the, dirty, real dirty stuff. So anyway, okay, well, that'll be interesting. So maybe I've been interested in, it's good to know that it's well done.
It is well done.
Okay,
cool.
Number 8, Sherlock Gnomes. I believe Brad Hyans' favorite movie?
That's from what I understand.
Do you say
from
the decade
week?
Or the year?
I believe the century.
The century?
Yeah, he said he's actually going to name his firstborn child Sherlock Gnomes Hyan. Boy or girl.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Nope.
Well, it's Sherlock Gnomes Hyman if it's a girl.
See now, what? I almost said it, and I was like, you know what? No.
But that's a medical term. Come on. I can't.
medical term.
Sherlock.
Yeah.
So Sherlock Gnomes made five
medical term
made $5 million, a 29% drop. It is up to 33 million big ones. That's
kids movie.
Yeah. 8 overseas. So call it about 40 on a $59 million budget.
You're probably. 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
do
told
it.
Me to call it.
That's
that,
right.
Man.
I know.
That'll learn your Sherlock Gnomes.
Finally, someone's listening around here.
What's the next kids movie? Incredibles?
That new Halloween movie coming out.
the Blumhouse Halloween flick.
I don't know. It depends on what you let your kids watch.
That's true. When is the next animated movie coming?
Incredibles.
Okay.
Would be the big one.
Or is it Hotel Transylvania?
Okay.
Incredibles is Halloween would be the big movie, right?
I don't think it is.
Why would they not do that in October?
Because they, I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be.
Probably a summer movie. They might do it early to get the, summer kids are out. Let's all go see it.
Because I think they're on, they go on a cruise. I think that's the
Hotel Transylvania, not in Transylvania, or in a hotel.
Yeah,
but okay.
You can check out anytime you want, and you can leave,
or you can't when you're on a cruise. You're just like, well, I'm stuck here now.
But they checked out a Hotel Transylvania.
Right. That's true. Yes.
So 40 on a $59 million budget for Gnomes. So Brad's gonna have to get his movie pass swiping to get the box office up for that one. It's not gonna cost him anything. Why not? Number 9, Pacific Rim Uprising, $4.2 million, a 55% drop. So it is at $54 million domestic. Had it been a good movie, maybe it would have made more money. But about 200 overseas.
You said something that made me think with the movie pass.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if a movie company that knows they have a loyal fan base would start a thing like, hey, how many times can you go see it with your movie pass?
Oh. Yeah.
And we'll give you a signed poster or we'll interview.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's all going to happen.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Haven't they already put limits on it though?
Like, you wouldn't even have to stay and watch it. Like, you could
just
go
swipe it.
Swipe it, and then
it's
turn
an interesting
on a
system. I mean, here's the thing. So while it's $10 a month, yes, you're going to get crazy stuff like that. The thing is going to back up to 40 or 50 eventually. It's just a matter of when. They cannot sustain. They are losing millions each month, tens of millions.
And they want people to see that, oh, I would use this enough to justify. But I just meant, if you have something with, this diehard rabid fan base.
Yeah.
Like what? Like, do you have something in mind?
I'm trying to think. Like, in the same way you have these people that want to destroy a movie like Ghostbusters reboot or whatever.
Did you see the High Fidelity reboot with a female lead?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. But from Disney. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way I feel. That's the way I feel about it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
But in the but if they have a movie that they like, you could you know kind of weaponize them in a way of saying like, oh, the people are keeping this movie down. Okay, let's make it political. Let's say you're one of these guys that makes one of these like the who's the guy that makes those Annie Obama movies like
Michael Moore.
No, that's
that'd be the other way.
But it's like Dionoza or whatever, right. And like what if you said, hey, if you got a movie pass, then the media's keeping this movie away. Just go to the theater every day with your right. movie pass.
Oh.
Don't even stay and watch it if you've already seen it. Just go if you could get if you could get 1,000 people up. To go every day of the week. Like
it's funny you should bring that up.
I think it's all going to happen.
I just watched it just in the propaganda kind of thing. I just watched that Gawker documentary about Hulk Hogan. Did mm-hmm. you seen this?
I have not.
It's fat. Like the Hulk Hogan
the lawyer just they had that grudge against the owner of Gawker. Just it,
the
destroyed
Hulk,
them.
Hulk Hogan is a footnote in this documentary.
It's amazing.
Like
this, yeah.
it's nuts.
It's an amazing
Where's
story.
That?
On Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix. But like they talk about how Hulk Hogan goes on Stern, and he was like, "Oh yeah, Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch."
Right.
Wiener and blah, blah, blah. And then Hogan's on the stand. He's like, you don't get it. Like, that's not Terry Bollea talking about. Terry Bollea does not have a 10-inch wiener. Hulk Hogan does. And the lawyers are just like, what? What are you talking about? And as a wrestling fan, like, I get it. Like,
yeah,
it's
a character he plays.
He's keeping mm-hmm. kayfabe. And kayfabe is like, you're keeping the wrestling story alive.
Right.
And not, you know, the heels don't hang out with the baby faces. And you just keep everything real. But, like, Alex Jones, who's that whack job on InfoWars, is trying to pull the same thing, mm-hmm. and Rush Limbaugh's the same boat, where they're just like, no. Like, Alex Jones, the man, doesn't believe any of that right. stuff. That's just the things that he says on his TV mm-hmm. show. And it's just like, all right.
No.
Like, the Hulk Hogan thing, I can get behind, because I get that wrestling is a show, and... He's trying, like, he makes money from Hulk Hogan. Terry Bollea doesn't make the money. Hulk Hogan makes the
right.
money. Alex Jones is his own, that, like Rush Limbaugh, their own wackadoo people. That it's just, they're trying to do the same thing with, like, the propaganda.
Trying
it's
to
like,
pull
oh,
it
no.
as a character.
Exactly. It's all satire.
See,
Yeah. No, exactly.
It's like, no.
The Hogan thing I get.
Colbert, that was.
And there Larry are people the Cable
who,
Guy,
who
Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. Who
those
absolutely believe that those. Well, yeah, Larry the Cable Guy is fascinating because it's like. Well, he
doesn't even sound like that.
Yeah.
First, that's
people
for
who
sure.
The,
never
the first time I saw him out of character, it blew my mind because I was like, whoa. You mean.
Yeah, I mean, he was working clubs. He was just a road comic for years, getting no traction. And that was like 10 minutes of his act.
It was a character.
Yeah.
And,
found it just blew up.
That blue collar comedy tour was game on. But all those, the Andrew Dice Clay, like you even said, that people were just like, and he was just like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
It's because
Andrew Dice Clay's on an episode of MASH.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
It's the fandom that,
buys into the.
So it's interesting. Since we're talking about box office and MoviePass, so some of the movies that benefited from MoviePass in 2017, Black Panther sold over 1 million tickets. Million times $10 on average, $10 million just from MoviePass on Black Panther. So that, you know, not that Black Panther didn't make $600 domestically without it, but $10 million
it's
is still, you want that $10 million,
change,
right? Jumanji, you know, that stuck around 750,000 tickets with MoviePass. Greatest Showman, which had a huge box office, 500,000 tickets with MoviePass.
Well, it didn't initially.
Well,
and then it did.
Well, they don't care.
But that movie lived on word of mouth, I wouldn't be surprised that a lot of that 500,000 saw it in the first couple of weeks and then told people
who
didn't have movie pass.
I mean, it just kept going. I mean,
you're right.
That movie is not even on DVD yet. Tuesday it comes out. Like, they're putting on DVD.
Yeah.
And it came out at Christmas.
Still,
is that right?
It came out Christmas
around.
Day.
I was going to say, because Jumanji's already out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's amazing. So, and then movies like Game Night, 500,000.
Yeah.
So that actually did a huge benefit. Like, you were thinking, like, it would have been great if it did a little bit better, but MoviePass could have saved Game Night.
Right.
Like, that's another $5-10 million that it made for it. And then number five, Star Wars, which obviously was the biggest movie of last year, 500,000 tickets.
You know, it's the MoviePass version of Groupon, and I do concert stuff like that all the time, and I can't tell you how many concerts where it's like a good Groupon promotion is the difference between. Is the difference between losing money and making money.
Yep.
Like,
I agree.
And you sell a bunch of tickets at full price, but then you sell, you know, another 10 or 15%
that you wouldn't have sold.
That you wouldn't
to begin
have sold
with.
Otherwise.
And they buy concessions,
and they buy concessions, and they pay to park, and, mm-hmm. and you know, and then you make your money that way. So I mean, I get
it's,
it.
It's the thing is, like with the people, the only reason I can see AMC and up until recently Landmark not wanting to use MoviePass is if they're doing their own thing, and then I can't sell mine for 50 if yours is 10.
I would say, and here's where MoviePass is going to run into problems. Eventually, the theaters are going to come up with their own version.
Yeah. Yes,
but Landmark was, I believe, and it was going to be like 30 a month, but they couldn't compete. So now, thankfully, in St. Louis, Landmark shows all our art house movies. Yeah. You can use MoviePass, which is great. Oh. So we can see all the stuff that's only limited release that maybe will never go wide release.
Yeah.
So it's great. I mean, for us, the MoviePass holders.
Can I buy tickets to Dawn of the Dead at Late Night Grindhouse with MoviePass?
I don't that believe seems I don't doubtful. Think so. Yeah. So.
What does St. Louis, like the theaters that I enjoy, the St. Louis cinemas, do they use MoviePass?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah, MX and the MX,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, MX, the Galleria, the Chase,
yeah.
and the Moulin.
Yeah, they all, do it was because just, they have a thing on the screen about it.
Too. Oh, they do? Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was just Landmark that was holding out in our area.
That was really the only reason I haven't done MoviePass is because I prefer to go to those theaters.
Yeah, well, they, so if they they're have, doing it, yeah. I'm in. Oh, absolutely. It's, right. it's great, yeah.
Yeah, they just need to get on the reserve seating.
Though. Yeah,
I yeah, agree. It is great. It is great.
Like, I won't, I really, unless it's a movie, you know, what. Yeah. We have really early in the morning, or yeah, but otherwise I'm like,
that we,
if I can't,
that we don't know each other at
or a movie, well, yeah. or a movie, you know, no one's going to see.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I saw Ready Player One because Ryan and Katie hadn't seen it, so I went to see it for a second time Friday night, 7 p.m. Right?
Did you
reserve seats sure. that morning because I went to go see A Quiet Place?
Yeah.
So I bought it when the theater was empty. Get there, it's pretty much packed, and we've got dead center great seats.
That's great.
It's like the reserve seating thing is.
Yeah.
Here's where the reserve seating thing becomes a problem. This happened to me when I went to see Blockers on Thursday night. Thursday night, 7 o'clock.
Did you get
you got blocked?
Blocked or?
Worse.
Oh. Okay.
So I bought a ticket because I was it was going to be me. So I it like. It like 6 o'clock starts at 7. I go online and buy my ticket just in case, and not one ticket has been sold for the theater.
Perfect.
So, I'm like, great. So I buy one dead center to last row. That's where I like to sit. And we get there, and I'm like, and Crystal's like, I think I'm gonna go. So I'm like, okay. Well, there were no seats sold. In worst case scenario, I'll just have them refund the ticket and give me seats somewhere else. You know?
Right.
So I get there. We go to select our seat on the little screen. Two other people had purchased tickets. Another couple had purchased tickets.
No.
Right next to me.
That's such a
what?
Dick
the theater
move.
Was empty?
The theater was completely empty.
Okay, that's insane.
And
that sucks.
I was like, what? What sort of sociopath?
Yeah,
that's serial killer level
that's
insane.
Like
that
they
is
had
like,
a copy of Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah,
they're like, we're just gonna read this.
I hope I don't see this guy at the urinal because I know which one he's gonna use.
Oh,
like what is wrong
is
with somebody?
I've never heard of one
is,
seat being sold and then two more next.
Oh,
to
that's
it.
Terrible.
Absolutely crazy.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and then
I'll
when
move.
They came in, they sat down, and then they did scoot
they
over.
Scoot one over.
And I'm just like, you know, and I was like, should I be
what'd
insulted or
like?
Grateful?
Like, did you get the what's the 411 on these?
I
people?
Do. I would kind of know want to know what they look like.
Well, you're in what kind of they were Indian for whatever that's worth.
Oh,
I don't know what that means, but they were.
I don't either.
All right.
I was just wondering.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even know.
Little,
it's so weird
how to
so
say like, but they were well dressed. They were younger. I'd say they were early to mid 20s.
Okay.
I don't get it.
So it's not like old people that don't know how to use
the internet.
That's what
I was thinking. Like,
no.
I was just like, those seats,
you know?
Those must be the only two seats that are left. I'll just boop.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is very weird. So anyway, but yeah, Pacific Rim Uprising, $4.2 million, a 55% drop, $54 million domestic, $200 overseas. So
stupid.
$250 on a $150 budget. So it's about making its money back here. And coming in at number 10, rounding
it.
No.
Pacific Rim was number 10.
Oh.
We have a number 9 down in Limited.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Thank you. So I will correct myself here, and I'm very happy to see this because a little movie, Isle of Dogs, Wes Anderson, $4.4 million is a 51% increase. So it looks like it is bumping up a little bit. It's at 554 locations. I mean, it did something amazing. It was at like,
it's like 50 million,
last
right?
week.
Or 80?
No, last week it was like at 100 theaters
yeah,
or something.
Something like
it made 4 or 5 or
right.
3 million.
3 million, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, 51% increase is 4.4 million. It is up to almost $12 million domestic, 3 or 4 overseas. So we're looking at about 15 on an undisclosed budget. I loved this movie. Dan, you're a Wes Anderson fan.
What?
Love it.
That's like.
I even kind of liked it.
I want to see it.
I think it is
absolutely delightful. Yeah. I mean, if you are a Wes Anderson fan, you'll love it. If you are not a Wes Anderson fan, it's like a really solid movie.
He works better with animation for me. The cutesiness kind of is okay.
I think you're able to appreciate the dialogue of I think you can appreciate the dialogue better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because it's like Fabulous Mr. Fox is a great example. It's like,
so good.
It's no different than any of his other movies. It just happens to be animated.
Right. Yeah. And so it works better for me that way. But yeah.
But his stuff is kind of a human cartoon.
True. I don't disagree.
He doesn't have characters.
It gets real old for me.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan and I loved it. And I've talked to other people that aren't as big of fans, and not including Tom, but you know, and everyone that has been delighted by it. It's so good.
Yeah.
I left the theater and was like, I could watch this again. I mean, there's so much to take in visually. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is even a step above Mr. Fox, which
so
I loved.
Were they Muppet Baby toys? Or
yeah, that's the next one. It's a Olive Garden toy.
Oh,
what they give the kids to play with while you're eating your fancy pasta fajoule.
This is breadsticky.
I don't think Pasta House has pasta fajoule.
Oh, I know, but I said Olive Garden.
I don't think they have any
pasta fungal.
First of all,
here's your pasta. Eat it.
I had an Olive Garden very close to my old workplace for 7 years, and I ordered pasta fazool almost every time I went there.
They were just like, "Oh God, he's back! We have to special order this crap every time this guy comes in here."
No, I'm pretty sure it comes out of a can with the Olive Garden logo next to it. But anyway, so yeah, Isle of Dogs doing quite well. I'm glad to see that. I'm hoping it goes wide release soon.
That's clearly what they're doing.
And I think. I want to say Grand Budapest Hotel was his most commercially successful.
I believe that made a ton of money. It did.
It'll be interesting to see once this goes wide what this will end up doing. But I've already said Pacific Rim, so that was kind of a miss over here, but did big money overseas. And I will say that the religious movies are still hanging on. I mean, you've got number 10, The Miracle Season.
Two or three days, yeah.
You've got The Miracle Season 3.7. You've got Paul, Apostle of Christ 1.7. God's Not Dead 3.
Oh, so there's
1 million.
Of them. So there that are. Makes sense.
That
yeah.
makes one for each day. One,
yes.
Well, no, there was three.
3 days that he.
There
anyway.
Was. It was Jesus.
I
and
have
the,
to pee, so in the box.
Jesus
office.
And the Two Thieves.
So that is the box office.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find him.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket and on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomOKeefe. You can find the show at Facebook.com/RealSpoiler. So that's it for this one. Next time, A Quiet Place, Not a Very Quiet Place.
No,
until then,
or the quiet ones.
You've been warned.
Hold me in your arms tonight.
Why?
Because I can be your hero, baby.
I feel it.
I can kiss away the pain.
Did not sound good.
I will stand by you forever. You can take.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.